Live from Los Angeles, it's the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show. Look at the bright lights. With tonight's guest, co-director of the Human Consciousness Institute, Sperry Andrew. And musical guest, Brooke Lazat. I am Mark Leger, and now, our host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I have been looking forward to this conversation for quite a while. And the interesting thing is that on the way to this conversation, I feel like I've had a conversation like this over and over and over again. Only tonight, I feel like we're going to get to the science of it. And I like that because a lot of people don't seem to give so much credibility to something until a scientist says it's this, or a doctor says it's this, or a professor says it's this. So today we have that. And what am I talking about? So it just seems that across the world, across the street, across the phone lines, people are in our heads, or we're in people's heads. And I know with the internet and with Alexa and all that stuff, Siri and all that stuff going on, I know things are listening to us. The interesting thing is, though, I feel like we've all been listening to each other long before these things came around. And there are things that are happening that can't be attributed to those things. They're attributed to something else. And since we don't talk about that often, we just say, oh, what a coincidence. Or, oh, I was just thinking about you. Oh, I just said that. And here it is. And there you are. Well, that's not only a thing. That thing that we just throw off as, oh, isn't that quaint, or isn't that cute, or isn't that fun, or isn't that coincidental, might actually be the stuff of life. And we may be missing out on a very big part of what we are capable of doing on so many levels by just tossing that off as a interesting factoid. So today we're going to delve in it with our guest, Sperry Andrews. And a little later, we're going to have some great music with our musical guest, Mr. Lazat, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate, but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads, transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com. or AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com. You can also comment via Twitter @LifeChangesShow and Facebook @TheLifeChangesShow.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio. This is the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, and I'm online with Mark Leger, our producer and co-host.
You know, your opening comments made me reflect on way back in the day when the internet was just getting started out and social media was starting, and I remembered people suddenly shifting from, I need privacy, to, hey, I'm going to brush my teeth, and then I'm going to walk downstairs, and I'm going to, you know, and they're showing their dinner and their breakfast and everything else. And now we're at the next level of all this predictive advertising and all these things that you're talking about. And I think that's yet another aspect of reflecting back to us the way consciousness works. And I'm really excited for this conversation tonight.
I am too. Actually, that's an interesting point, especially since we've titled this episode, What You Pay Attention To Affects You. Our guest is the founder and co-director of the Human Connection Institute. He is a research partner with the Consciousness Quotient Institute and advisory board member of the Lifeboat Foundation and many other things that I hope we get into. Welcome to the show, Sperry Andrews.
Hello, Filippo and Mark. Great to be with you all and our audience.
It's great to have you on the show, and aloha to you. You have, I hope it's okay to say, moved to Hawaii.
Absolutely. It's great to be here.
Like as of a day ago. So this is very special.
Yeah.
So as you and I talked about, and as we shared with Mark and in the monologue, This little coincidence thing is actually a big thing. And actually, let's start with a big thing that happened to you when you were very little.
Well, how much depth do you want me to go into with that? Give me some minutes.
Well, a couple minutes, because there's so much we want to talk about with you.
Okay. Well, I had a near-death experience when I was 4 years old, where I existed, or in a sense ceased to exist, as a body, heart, or mind, as formless, boundless, timeless, imageless, choiceless consciousness. And it was an answer to what I was wanting to understand, because my grandparents had, on my mother's side, at 2 and 4 years old, had taken their lives, and my mom was affected. And I wanted to understand what death was, and is there anything that I could do to sort of save the day? I was playing Zorro, climbed up on a tree limb, and the tree limb broke under me. I fell, and as I fell, I caught a hold of it, which my downward momentum carried me under the tree limb, which is about 20 foot long and about 10 inches wide, and it landed right on my heart, took me out for 7 hours. So I, while I was not in a body, heart, or mind, there was no me, no self, there was this boundless consciousness that was aware of itself as mirror-like awareness. So if we look and we stand in front of a mirror, and we see that the mirror, without any image of its own, choicelessly receives and reflects us. It was like being an omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient mirror that was receptive and reflective of all potentials and possibilities. And it was when I came back into my child's four-year-old body, my first question was, well, why would Zorro need to know that, or why didn't I ever see anything about this in the old black and white Zorro movies on television? And before I could finish asking the question, it was as though kinesthetically, nonverbally, I was shown that all life oscillates in and out of formless awareness and is coordinated and anchored in this ever-present eternal now. And that this indivisible, boundless awakeness was reuniting and recombining and representing everything at the level of form as the relative world that we live in.
You I don't know how much you understood of all of that, certainly, or how much of it did you understand at 4 years old, actually?
Well, it took me a lifetime practically to be able to talk about it the way I just did. But it was completely apparent to me what I just stated. And apparently, many people who have had near-death experiences, a great many, say that they understand the structure of the universe instantaneously the moment you're in that state. And some people who are on psychedelics and so forth, or in love, can say they feel as though they understand the structure of existence as indivisible and unconditioned by thought or mind or body.
Well, you went on eventually to not only study this and all kinds of phenomenon, and you've written papers, you've given lectures, and you've degreed in all of that. So from the new understanding, you have actually come back to some very simple principles, in a sense, which obviously are very profound. How we pay attention together affects every one of us, for example.
Yes, how we pay attention, how well we pay attention, and what we pay attention to determines what we are experiencing.
So let's start with the first one of those, how we pay attention. Now, what does that mean, how we pay attention?
Well, we are essentially, as an observer, as a witness, we are like a mirror, and when we step in front of a mirror in our bathroom, the mirror instantly receives and reflects us without reacting, without judging us, and we lose contact with that level of our consciousness as we grow up into this world where we're objectified as a good little girl, good little boy, or this is my mommy, this is your daddy. This is this, that's that, and so the development of the new brain, the neocortex, the verbal analytic brain, is in a process of attempting to label, conceptually label, what is nonverbally sensed by the much more mature and developed sensory motor reptilian and the emotional mammalian nervous system. So the development of the thinking brain, the conceptualizing brain, is a development out of the sensory and emotional nervous system, which allows us to focus this primordial awakeness, this mirror-like awakeness, more precisely, whereas our feelings are more like a field of emotional feelings, and our sensory awareness and intelligence is more like a field also. It's more like an ocean. Whereas our mind-made version is more incremental and comparative, where we can say, you're you, I'm me, this is now, then that's then, and that was before. And that allows us to sort through and navigate the world in a much more, let's say, controlled or precise way.
This is interesting, and I think I'm going to want to break it down for myself and for our audience when we come back a little more with our guests, Asperi Andrews, and a little later on, Brooke Lazotte is going to be joining us with some music, and we're talking about what we pay attention to affects us, how it affects us, what we're paying attention to, and how well we pay attention. Can't wait to dig into all of that when we come back here on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They're dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome, L.A., on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include influencers such as author Ariel Ford, business luminary Nolan Bushnell, and actress Dee Wallace on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Please send any comments or questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and we're having a conversation that's fascinating to me, and I'm sure to all of you, with Sperry Andrews. Sperry, you use this great analogy about the mirror and how we look in the mirror, and right away the mirror reflects to us without judgment and all of that. How does that relate exactly to how we pay attention?
Well, let's use that analogy of the mirror, the metaphor of the mirror, and imagine if we have, a mirror lying on our desk and it has a lot of stuff on it, so we can't even look into it, or we can only see pieces of our own reflection. That's the way our mind, heart, and body become, is sort of obscured by the content or the contentiousness of who we think we are and what we think we're doing. Whereas the sadhus and sages and yogis, going back thousands of years in Buddhism and Hinduism, they say, if you can become aware of awareness, this mirror-like quality, and the Hindus and Buddhists use actually the mirror analogy, then we become conscious of consciousness, or we have conscious awareness, where awareness is conscious of itself. We call that conscious awareness. So the whole point of spirituality is to become anchored in this constant, which is ever-present and cannot be divided against itself, which is one of its crucial and most extraordinary properties, is that when we feel anchored in this groundless ground of our being, we experience that we are unborn, which is a whole, conceptual, amazing area we can explore, and we can experience that we are immortal, that we're not created and we cannot be destroyed. So we have this sense of, especially after having a near-death experience, many people lose their fear of death because they realize that death, having experienced deathless consciousness, that they cannot die. And so, of course, there are greater depths of understanding that, and I've spent a lifetime understanding that and being able to explain it.
Mm. Speaking of being able to explain it, I want to share with everybody that you have a background in physics and neuroscience and philosophy, in parapsychology, art, and psychology, I think, and art history, healing, mysticism, filmmaking. So it from all these different aspects of the human experience, you bring it down to this, which to me is fascinating, like you're distilling it. And the mirror. So for example, if we have a bunch of sticky notes kind of thing on the mirror, that I want to remember that, and I want to remember this, and I want to make sure I do this, and then if we look into the mirror, we only see a piece of us. Is that a good analogy?
Yes, I'd say we get lost in the forest among the trees, and we miss the. The totality can be apprehended and embodied and felt and sensed and comprehended and contemplated as a whole, as an undivided whole, if we can become conscious of awareness.
So when you say the totality and as a whole, you don't just mean ourselves, obviously, as individual. You mean all of us connected to all of us and everything, right?
Yeah, that's correct, yes. Uh-huh. So that's a whole another level that we're a little afraid of or very reticent about, because we, as plants and animals, we've been eating and being eaten by each other for hundreds of millions of years. So we focus on our separate individual territories, both physical and psychological, and defend them to the death, basically. And as we awaken through this perceptual process in space over time, we've come to a fairly civil society where we have rules and laws that prevent us from eating and being eaten by each other. and so we can begin to, in the same way that we have come from 1.6 billion years ago, developing from single cells into multicellular organisms, we are now an organism comprised of, on average, about 50 trillion cells as an individual human being, and about 10 to 20 times as many bacterial cells. So we're this collaborative, each of us is a collaborative community of cells sharing a commonly sensed experience that is complex, and seeing itself for what it is, and by seeing itself as it is, actually recapitulating itself, regenerating itself, and representing itself to itself. So that's where the, you know, how well we pay attention and what we pay attention to makes a big difference for our awakening and our evolution. And if we feel that we're evolving and we are brand new, fresh and new every moment, it's more like we were when we were brought, how nature created us, when we were brought in and when we're babies, when we're born. We feel totally surprised. We're lit up and turned on. Everything is fresh and new. We're not afraid of the fact that we don't know who and what we are, but we're experiencing this recreative play of consciousness in a fully embodied way, and it's very joyful and beautiful and unconditionally loving, because it hasn't been conditioned by the pieces and parts, the sticky notes that are occluding the mirror yet.
Mm. Mm. While you were talking and taking us back to childhood, in a sense, and that innocence, I was thinking of experiences that I had as a child, and even watching other children interact at parties, for example. Especially if a child is crying or if a child gets hurt, a lot of times the other children will go to that child, even though they might have been playing elsewhere and having fun, to heal or to say, are you okay, and to make sure they're okay. It's like an instinct. And I think if we expand into the world and we don't see that in another part of the world somebody's crying or hurting, out of sight isn't necessarily out of consciousness, right?
That's correct, yes. Because we've been taught to objectify ourselves and one another and everything and every thought, and try to get what is fresh and new by getting something other than what we've already sensed and felt and thought, in order to accomplish or obtain more, so to speak, with a capital M, we can actually come back to this sense of being incomparably, infinitely unique every moment by coming back to this childlike awareness of the being awareness as an adult or as a community, as a collective, as a species on this planet, and actually access our collective potential for enlightenment. And this is what nature appears very clearly to have designed us to ultimately accomplish through how we pay attention and what we pay attention to together.
Well, how well we pay attention. I'm thinking, based on our conversation prior to tonight's show, that that focus takes us into aspects of our being that most of us don't know too much about or not enough about, and that's things like healing and spontaneous healing and actually affecting our physical reality, correct?
That's correct, yes. If we enter into this state of synergy, or it's called syntropy, is the opposite of entropy. Entropy is the collapse of order. Syntropy is the sustaining of order, if you will. So everything is perfectly and flawlessly and faithfully organized, but we're not noticing that because we pay attention in a very piecemeal way. Mm-hmm. But and so we feel that we're missing this P-E-A-C-E, this piece that is missing, mm-hmm. The P-E-A-C-E that passeth, as it said, the need for understanding, because when we experience this indivisible being that we share with all life everywhere, we're actually localizing the non-local whole in the fourth dimension of space, in the physics of it, which Bernard Reinemann and William Clifford were really looking at way back before Einstein came up with general relativity and special relativity, and Einstein was working with Schrodinger. They were examining the fourth dimension of space. And Reinemann didn't develop his understanding of what a point is, a geometric point. But obviously you can't have a triangle or a cube if it weren't made up of so many points in relationship with each other. Well, those points are dimensionless. Yes, what those points connect together is either a flat plane, or two points makes a line, three points make a plane, a two-dimensional plane. Three points also make a plane, but if you have four points and you turn two of them perpendicular to the other two, you have a tetrahedron, you have the strongest structure in nature, which is made out of four equilateral triangles. So if you can imagine that, no matter how much three dimensions is a development out of what is dimensionless, utilizing these dimensionless points as coordinate locations for the expansion of space over time, creating fields and forces and energy and matter and ultimately mind and body, you realize that the very source origin of space-time, energy, and matter, and mind and body remains dimensionless. You're not actually losing that dimensionless nature, because all of space-time, energy, matter, mind, and body are made out of that which is dimensionless. Mm-hmm. So many physicists talked about today that actually, in order to have the universe that we appear to have by empirical measurement from our best measurements, from our satellites and so forth, is that this universe, all the fields and forces, actually, when you combine them together, they cancel out to zero. And if all the forces and fields didn't cancel out to zero, we couldn't have the universe that we have. So then the question has been recently, and well, going back to Alex Vilenkin and so forth, and even Stephen Hawking and Alan Guth and some of the most famous physicists in the world have said that the universe could arise from nothing whatsoever. His name is going to escape me at the moment, but he wrote a book called The Universe from Nothing, basically. So this is where it's going, is to see how can we understand quantum mechanics as being a field of probabilities that when you observe it, it becomes a classical relativistic system. Mm. Now, how can you convert a probabilistic system where you can't determine absolutely where a particle is at any given moment until you observe it? And why does observation in the double-slit experiment and so forth, why does it turn it into a deterministic system? Now, the classical physics and special and general relativity that came out of Isaac Newton. Now, just briefly, Isaac Newton conceived that absolute space and time were essential for relative space and time. And most people overlook that. They always accuse Isaac Newton of being, you know, overlooking this. But when you realize that absolute space and time is an unchanging aspect of what is relative. And so if you can't have what is relative with what is absolute, this is what Einstein attempted to explain by saying that the speed of light was absolute or invariant. He wanted to build the whole of our physical understanding of reality based on something that could not vary. Well, we know that the speed of light now can vary in a vacuum. When it's not in a vacuum, when it's in a medium. But really what is most invariant is not the speed of light. It is this void, this dimensionless aspect, which is uncreated and cannot be destroyed. And that is the whole of three-dimensionality is built out of these dimensionless points in relationship to each other. So you can conceive of our universe as being an infinite number of dimensionless points, which are all in relationship with each other, that at the fourth dimension of space, which William Clifford showed, is absolutely brilliant. He died very early. Riemannian, as I said, Bernhard Riemann, didn't understand how to deal with it mathematically. And Einstein, therefore, didn't really know what to do with that because he really learned his geometry from Riemann. And Schrodinger was looking at these wave equations, and so he didn't really know how to look at it geometrically, because quantum mechanics actually says there is no geometry. When you have a probability field, it has no absolute geometry. It's just a probability field. So for 100 years, classical physics and quantum physics have not been able to be put together. They say they're incompatible. The mathematics of each are completely irreconcilable. Well, Dr. James E. Beichler, B-E-I-C-H-L-E-R, and I independently, before we even met each other, had solved this problem. And we came together and we started talking about it and sharing our insights. And we said, oh my goodness, you know, we understand each other. And it was like he had a whole much more rigorous understanding, being a professor of physics for 35 years and having published peer-reviewed nearly 100 papers. And I was more of a self-taught. My professors told me, you know, you're not going to be able to study what you're doing, Sperry, in the university. Nobody's going to be able to help you. And they're only going to brainwash you to think the way they think. Mm. So if you really want to pursue what you're doing, you're going to have to be self-taught. So I thought you were right. And so I did that. And so Jim, if I may call him that, Dr. James E. Beichler, he is Jim. And he said, well, you know, Sperry's more of an intuitive, even though many intuitives have studied physics and really rigorously studied it, they're actually more insightful and more rigorous than many of the people that have gone through years and years of doctoral training.
Sperry, and you're going through many years of what you've, you're only not even scratching the surface, I know, on where you can go with this. We're going to have to take a quick break. When we come back, we just have a couple of minutes, and I'm wondering if we can help people start somewhere, just short of having an NDE themselves or taking some substance like you mentioned. Some people experience just short of all that. In a couple of minutes, is there a good place to start where they can get to some of these points you're touching on? We'll be talking more with Sperry Andrews when we come back. And in our next segment, we have our Ask Dorothy question. And after that, live music with Brooke Lazotte, all on the Life Changes Show, At Home Edition, after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and we are talking to Sperry Andrews, who is a founder and co-director of the Human Connection Institute and research partner with the Consciousness Quotient Institute. And so much more, actually. So I'm going to refer our audience to our page that we created for Sperry Andrews. Of course, you could find him on Facebook and LinkedIn under his name, but you might want to check out his bio, and then we have all his links there where you can learn more about him and connect with him should you want to, and a great video that leads to other videos of him sharing so much of his knowledge. And I know there's so much more. And so, Sperry, we literally have 2 minutes, and I was hoping that you could share with us where to start.
Well, let me say, we have the, you know, the small self with the cap small s, and then we have the capital S self that said traditionally for thousands of years that there is only one self. There's only one of us. There's only one universe, there's only one life, one nature. And by stepping gradually, step by step, back into that, out of this fragmented, piecemeal, conceptual version of who we think we are, to that which is thoughtless, like the mirror, we can realize this dimensionless, deathless, capital S self, or no self, as the Buddhists would call it, the anatta. We can access that sense of being indivisible from everyone and everything, and that's where you started the show, where people can access their combined intelligence and access their unity with others, which is love itself, this communion of all that is, ultimately. Mm. And by using ethnogens very delicately, not a lot, don't have to overdo it and drown ourselves in a drug or anything like that, but with microdosing, as James Fadiman has, please look him up, and just maybe just a single puff of cannabinoids, which have been used for 10,000 years, they shift the whole body, heart, and mind into this unity very immediately, and we can access a greater sense. And then that helps us learn to meditate and become aware and conscious of awareness, and then we can more directly integrate and make a practice of continuously and indivisibly and seamlessly remaining aware of this awakeness that cannot be divided against itself. And then we don't have any fear of death, and we know who we truly are as life itself, as nature, as a creation of nature, and understand our purpose in life.
Mm. You know, Sperry, you and I have quote-unquote known each other many years, and we don't remember when we met or how we met, and yet when we connected, it was hello, and we started in on a conversation, and because of that connection, I got a sense from you that I don't need to know everything you know, because you know it for us, and that you get to share it. You sharing it with us in the way that you do is what you have come here to do, in a sense. And me bringing it out in this way and being on air, etc., is what I'm doing. And it's a beautiful thing where I don't have to be you and you don't have to be me, but I'm sure glad there's you.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that my hand is not the same shape as my face or my foot or something. You know,
right.
We have, you know, we are incomparably, infinitely unique. Literally, we're recreating and representing ourselves to ourselves as a finger, as a nose. Every moment, the more awake and aware we are, the more ageless we become. The more we realize that we're able to bilocate or trilocate, and we're able to, there are whole civilizations that are able to access their combined intelligence, for example. And so each person in that civilization, by accessing the combined intelligence of everyone in their species, their neurophysiological psychology develops much, much more rapidly and in depth, and they become telesomatic, and they are able to bilocate by just focusing where they want to go, and they can appear and disappear in space and time in kahunas, in the South Sea Islands, and the Masters of the Far East, if anybody's ever read that book, and so many others. Ramana Maharshi, without knowing anything, he never studied anything, teleported because this, without even wanting to, because his disciple wanted to see him, was missing him so badly. If you ever read his biography or autobiography, he talks about that. So it's really quite extraordinary what we're capable of. And we are able to know the Akashic records, to know everything there is to know, because we are everything. We are everybody. And we're each embodying everybody and everything in an incomparably, infinitely unique way, every moment, trillions of times a second.
Sperry, thank you so much. You have touched on things on such a high level. I know you're at a high level. I'm just curious just how high. Tell me this. Did you take a plane to Hawaii or did you teleport? Just tell me that.
No, I took a plane to Hawaii.
Oh, okay. Just curious. Okay. At least this year. In any event, I strongly urge all of you to go to the Life Changes Network or lifechangesshow.com page, where we have Sperry Andrews. It's spelled just like it sounds. Of course, you could find him on Facebook and LinkedIn under that name. But you'll find some of his research at some of the links that we have. And Sperry, what a pleasure it has been to connect and reconnect with you and have you on the show.
May I say one last thing about the playing thing? Because we're all in this together, our development as a species on this planet and our ability to teleport and not use planes really depends upon our collaborating together, all 7.8 billion of us. And that's what my work is all about, is popularizing that, making it available for free around the clock in multiple languages, and showcasing that and popularizing that through a series of feature and documentary films that are upcoming. So look forward to those, and look forward to being awake as one and many with all of you. Bye for now.
And so it is. And please do share with us as those all develop. So a big thank you to you, Sperry Andrews. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Alicia, and I live in Los Angeles. So many people in my neighborhood are frightened out of their minds and are so concerned about the state of our world today. I want to form a prayer circle so we can all gather and pray for worldwide love, peace, and joy. How can I do this without breaking the rules for having people in my home? In the past, I have held these kind of prayers in our church, but right now we can't gather there either. Please advise as to how I can make a prayer circle work during these challenging times.
Dear Alicia, although I much prefer doing my work with my clients present in my office, I've had to find other ways to work with them, and I thank God for the internet. There are many free web conferencing tools available, so please do the research and find the one that will work best for you, and set up the time for you and your friends to connect for your prayer circle. Another easy way to consciously co-create a positive outcome is to email your friends the time and date you wish to have all connected. In reality, there is no time and space, and you can connect with one another by simply setting your intention to do so. You can write a simple prayer of gratitude and share with your friends by email. For example, you can ask them to join you at any hour, day, or evening that works for all and repeat the prayer you have in mind that you believe will co-create the positive outcome you desire. The prayer I've been asking my friends to join in is a very simple one. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God. As your divine children, we are the power in our world, and we are grateful for your assistance and divine intervention in co-creating the best world possible for all concerned. And so it is. Alicia, please note that I use this method very often, and it has worked beautifully for me. I have many friends in other parts of the world who join in at the stated time. So even though it appears we are not physically together, our minds and powers easily overcome the distance. I trust that you will find this method as helpful as I have.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And we'll be right back with our musical guest, Brooke Lazat, right after this on the Life Changes Show At Home Edition.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, we're back, and it's time for our musical guest segment, and our musical guest is a pianist, a Hammond B3ist, a multi-keyboardist, a clavinetist, a wah-wah-ist. He's a lot of ists. He's a singer, a songwriter, producer, and recordist. Welcome to the show, Brooke, should I say Lizotist?
Good, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's great to have you here, actually. And while we're at it, it's great that one of your friends and my friends, Annika Paris, said, you have to have Brooke because every morning he makes me feel good because you do something every morning. Is it on Instagram or it's on both, I think, on Facebook? Tell us what you do.
Well, it started when everybody was put in the proverbial prison of staying home and don't get together, quarantine, isolate, you know, stay away, and for good reason. But I started a morning rendezvous where people, it's on Facebook Live, and it is an hour at 10 o'clock every morning that we can come together and be together and we come together, and it's a no-news hour of love and connection and music. And we laugh and tell stories, and everybody checks their baggage at the door, and we're together, and it's just, it's, I've been doing it every day since all of this has started.
You know, I was thinking there might have been a time when this was done, and then all of a sudden I thought, well, wait a minute, it's being done. This is the time, and Brooke Lazard is doing it.
when I saw we've all seen friends in all the mediums trying to get through this time when they're not able to connect with their audience, and so I started seeing people do, you know, these kind of live events and have people show up and they play and sing and or paint or dance or do what they do. And I thought, oh, that's so great. I just thought that was so generous and gracious. And a dear friend of mine suggested that I do it. And I'm in an old church that's a beautiful studio with a gorgeous piano. So I said, well, yeah, I mean, I'm playing every day anyway. Why don't I just open it up and let people show up and, or, virtually. And
well, let's yes.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's open it up and let them hear what we're talking about.
Well, lovely. So my question to you is, do you want me to start fast and windy and kind of like a windy night with the autumn that we're in the middle of, or should I start soft and sweet?
Well, they both sound good. Are they both going to be on the piano, as one, or is one of them on the Hammond organ?
No, they're both on the piano.
Oh, on the piano. Well, either one. Surprise us.
Well, so I'm going to start with one that is, it's a quick story behind it, where we've all seen those dust devils that, you know, just sit there and spin. And I saw one, experienced one, that picked up a real thin plastic bag and lifted it up. And all of a sudden, it was weightless. It was flowing in the current of this dust devil. Mm-hmm. And danced and flowed, and it was just so much fun to watch. And then pretty soon, it fell to the ground. And this is that image. It's called Weightless.
Weightless. Oh, okay, well, here is Brooke Lazard playing Weightless live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition. Thank you so much.
I could go on. I could go on, but I thought I'd keep it short because we're on the clock here.
You know, I know you could go on. As a matter of fact, I was thinking, you know, I want to know the rest of the movie. I was picturing what the story that you shared, and then I thought, of course, Brooke Lazat writes movie music as well as TV music. You've done many movies, including Sex and the City 2 and Burlesque, the film, and the soundtrack, and several others. So, yes, of course, you're painting the picture. Thank you for that. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. I'm so thankful. And by the way, listening to Barry, it is all about love. We are one. And when we can come inside and make our first movement into ourselves in love and then go out into the day, there would be nothing loveless.
Well, and if people want to do that with your music, they can join you in a morning rendezvous on Facebook every morning. If they go to Facebook at Brooke, Brooke, dot Lizotte, Lizotte, and on Facebook there's the number one, right? Right after that?
Yes, otherwise you'll get a girl.
Okay, and what time do you do those?
10 o'clock in Pacific time.
Okay, so what you just played, is that part of the new CD that's coming out is out?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is indeed. It is out. And it's available. It's available everywhere. I started the initial kind of release within my Facebook, within the Rendezvousites. So I was doing the CD just specifically for them for me to mail to them, you know, individually. So it was a personal release. And now it's going to be out in all everywhere with the digital stores and anywhere that people can get their downloads. And so that is out there now, and it might take, it's very fresh. So it might take a few days for that to kind of get in the various stores, but it will be there in short order.
And when you look for it, it's called Brooke Lazat 2020 Isolation Morning Rendezvous Phase 1, right? So there's more to come.
And I'm in the mixing process of the second, because this has been such a prolific time for me, because it's been just so, it's just, I've been immersed in this, that there was far too much material for the first album. So Phase 1, of course, is based on what's happening logistically with us. And Phase 2 is about to come out.
Well, you've been prolific all along, it seems. You've worked with such artists as Jennifer Hudson and Christina Aguilera and Brian Johnson of AC/DC and Ryan Meisner of the Eagles, and the list goes on. And how fun and exciting, and this is fun and exciting in a whole different, very special way. So thank you for what you're doing. We get to hear another song before we go, I understand.
Sure. I thought this is a very quiet, pretty thing. It feels like you're walking with someone you love through the hills of Tuscany.
Oh.
What
is this called?
This is called, well, preface it with saying, what's one thing that is difficult to do at this moment in our world is touch. And this is called touch.
Wow. How profound is that? Well, can't wait to hear it. Here is Touch, written and performed by Brooke Lizotte live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
Thank you.
Yes, you could go on and on with that. My goodness, Brooke Lizotte, I was walking on that path with you. Thank you for sharing that. That was beautiful. That was touch.
So my pleasure. So my
and
pleasure.
That was from Brooke Lizotte, 2020 Isolation Morning Rendezvous, Phase 1, available everywhere. Our CDs are sold now. So join Brooke on Facebook at Brooke.Lizotte, then the number one. Brooke, what a pleasure, and thank you for sharing your music in such a special way and in such a special time.
Thank you. It's been, and pleasure is all mine to be a part of your program. I was quite touched by Barry and how you guys have a special connection. I could feel it as plain as day. And this has been a magic hour. Thank you for including me.
Well, thank you so much. And I feel we have, well, we had, we didn't get to mention, but we had a special connection as soon as we connected right away, too. So as a matter of fact, with your area code, I thought you were just down the street. I wanted to come by and say hello, but that wasn't meant to be. You're in Seattle now. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe someday. In the meantime, great to connect here this way. Once again, Brooke Lizotte, and a big thank you also to our guest, Barry Andrews. And with that, that's our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am Filippo Voltaggio, your host, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely has tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.